Welcome to Going Behind the Word, a podcast of the Depores Pages podcasts. You can subscribe to this podcast at thefriar.org or wherever you get your podcast. Intro and exit music is Peaceful by Luca Fraula and is used with permission under the Creative Commons license. Hello and welcome to this edition of Going Behind the Word for this third Sunday of Lent, which is probably a different Sunday of Lent than we've celebrated, maybe some of us even in our lifetimes, but for many of us certainly that's the case. And that's because many of you, especially in the United States, are either living in a diocese. Three of our largest archdioceses in the country have suspended masses for the weekend, and many others have as well, or your bishop has lifted the obligation. He's dispensed with the obligation of going to mass on Sunday. Doesn't mean that you can't go, but he has encouraged, in most of these instances, the bishops have encouraged that if you are in a group that could really find the coronavirus being dangerous, particularly people over the age of 60, then perhaps you might want to think about staying home. And to that end, just as we continue with this, there are all kinds of resources if you go to thefriar.org for praying at home if you find yourself in that situation, this Going Behind the Word being among them. So I thought it would be interesting today to look at the second reading. You know, so many times it strikes me as tremendous that the providence of God is just so outstanding that he gives us the reading we actually need at the day. Now, on the one hand, these are the readings from the lectionary. They're not a surprise to us. This is always the reading for year A, the third Sunday, year A. So we have that reading. So it's not a surprise in that sense. But how appropriate the reading seems to be to our current situation. I remember after 9/11, a couple of days after 9/11, September 11th, there's the reading in the Gospel of Matthew, which tells us to love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. And the hair stood up on the back of my neck as I was preaching for that daily mass to a pretty large congregation at that time. And so it was just really interesting to me that how often that happens. And I think it does happen this Sunday too, in the second reading from St. Paul, because he focuses in that reading on hope. And we're going to talk a little bit about hope today, and then maybe how that hope can be something very powerfully witnessed to, because it certainly seems to me it's something we really need in the midst of a crisis, something that's going to help us to hope. And so what is it that Paul says? There are two lines that struck me from the second reading for this weekend. One, we boast in hope of the glory of God. So we see the glory of God, but even when we don't, and we might expect it to happen in the future, we always have hope for it because of the glory of God. That gives us our hope because of what happens to us when we follow and put our lives in God's hands, when we trust God. Because hope does not disappoint. That's the second line that I want to emphasize from today's reading, is that hope is a very, very powerful thing. It does not disappoint. And how wonderful a line, or however one wants to look at it, how wonderful it is that something like this is a reminder to us. But what exactly is hope? I thought maybe it would be good to look at just a few of the church fathers and St. Paul to see how it is they define hope, what they think it is, and then we'll look to see how does this help us when we are getting ready for hearing this reading this weekend. St. Augustine believes it's quite important to distinguish between faith and hope. And so he says this about hope. Hope has for its object only what is good, only what is future. And so when we hope, we're not hoping for something we have. If we have it, we don't need to hope for it because we actually have it. That makes sense. If I'm hoping I'm going to get an iPhone for Christmas and it's not yet Christmas, and then I get an iPhone, well, I don't have to hope for the iPhone anymore because I have it. So that makes a lot of sense. And that's the thing that he points out. It's a future-oriented thing. That's important for us to remember. St. Paul emphasizes this point as well. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? Same idea. If I have what I'm hoping for, well, I don't need to hope for it anymore. I have it. St. Basil the Great says this. Trials are of two kinds. Either affliction will test our souls as gold is tried in a furnace and make trial of us through patience, or the very prosperity of our lives will oftentimes, for many, be itself an occasion of trial and temptation. For it is equally difficult to keep the soul upright and undefeated in the midst of afflictions as to keep oneself from insolence and pride in prosperity. So there's a lot of things there, but here's the thing. We encounter a trial, or we have some kind of affliction. We get really seriously sick, or some horrible thing happens to us. Somebody we love dies unexpectedly in an accident or of a terminal illness, or we have a relationship that becomes broken, or we learn something about a friend that is really betraying to us. It's a real betrayal. So the thing is that St. Basil, first of all, says this kind of affliction, we should look at it as gold being tested in fire. In other words, it's kind of the faith perspective of somebody like Nietzsche, who said that whatever doesn't kill us can only make us stronger. Well, the reality is, for us, affliction can always make us stronger if we join that affliction, if we join that suffering with Jesus. And so I think that's one of the things we're being asked to do. We're being asked to make sacrifices for the common good. We're being asked not to be concerned about, let's say, the total number of people with a coronavirus. We're asked to be concerned about our opportunity to be charitable by keeping others from getting the disease, by practicing good hygiene, maybe by staying out of large crowds, if we're sick, by staying home. That's an act of charity. It's an invitation of charity so that we can grow in holiness and faith. And then he says this, and this is also what I think is really important for us to remember in the midst of this very difficult period of time, that just as it's difficult in afflictions, I'm going to add words to him, to maintain hope in God. When things go bad, it can sometimes be really, really difficult to keep our faith. It is equally difficult to keep ourselves from being too proud when everything is going well. And so we don't think we need God when everything is perfect and so forth. So think of this week. You know, we had a stock market that was really, really high. 401ks were doing really well and so forth. There's a certain sense that we think, well, that's just going to go on forever and we're not going to have to worry. Because everything is so tremendous or wonderful. Or put another way, I'm not going to have to worry because my life is fine, and then I get some kind of horrible thing and I realize it's not going to last forever. Maybe I have a horrible illness that befalls me, and then I wonder, well, why me, and so forth. And so there's always this tension between the two, which in so many ways has been pointed out. There's a proverb in the Old Testament, I forget exactly where it is, but it's a prayer, really. Lord, in times of adversity, let me never forget prosperity. And in times of prosperity, let me never forget adversity. And the purpose of that is that it's going to help us to keep ourselves balanced and holy. So what is then the task for us in terms of these readings? How does the focus on hope that St. Paul offers it to us this weekend, how does that help us? Well, here's the thing. We're being called first to remember that we have been saved by Jesus Christ. So the greatest affliction that has befallen us is our sinfulness. And because of that sinfulness, our distance, our brokenness from God. But we have been saved. So despite that, we have a God who loves us so much, he extends this forgiveness to us. Now, the fact that we can be saved in spite of our sinfulness, the fact that our greatest affliction can be removed from us by God, well, what greater cause for hope is that? Now, if we only rely on our own limited reason, we have a hard time seeing how anyone... This is a section we don't hear from St. Paul, but I think it's important for us to note. We have a hard time seeing how anyone could give their life for somebody else. Though, we do say it's possible there could be such cases. It's possible that someone could give their lives for another. We've heard of these kind of heroic examples where people give their lives for another. But if we think of this as being normative, it gets very difficult for us to do that because our reason is limited. We just say that that's very hard. I can't imagine myself doing that. So we say these things to ourselves, and it can become very, very difficult. So what St. Paul is trying to remind us is that if we can focus on this great gift, the gift of Jesus for our salvation, the fact that God has redeemed us and saved us, if we can do those things, if we can turn our eyes toward God, then indeed we can be people of tremendous hope. You see, I think part of the reason why this virus has been so much causing hysteria or panic has been precisely because we've lost a sense of this greater God, this God greater than we, something outside of ourselves that's more powerful and more loving. And so if we don't have hope, or if our hope is placed only on what we think we can do in the future and not on the tried and true and dependable love of God, then we're going to hoard. We're going to say, well, I need to take control of the situation. So I think that's why we're seeing so much of this hysteria, because people are very, very, very much afraid. And if I have only myself, well, there's good reason to be afraid. But if I have the presence of God, then I have something that's really tremendous. That gives me hope, because Jesus gave his life for me. Jesus gave his life for you. And so that's tremendously hopeful. We have this great, great possibility because of our loving God that we're going to be saved. And even more than that, God has made himself approachable. That is to say, we can have a relationship with Jesus. That when things are difficult, when things are hard, when things are maybe not so easy for us to understand, God is there. We can talk to God. We can pray to God. We can be in relationship with God. That is really outstanding. God is always present, loving and caring for us. So, in the midst of a global pandemic, this is the time to realize that God is calling out the best in us. The first reading today didn't bring out the best in the people. Why are we out here? We don't have any water. We're going to go dry. We're going to die of dehydration. But this is a crisis where we're invited to a deeper faith in God. This is the crisis where we're called to remember our reliance upon God. Consider those, for example, during World War II who had victory gardens because there wasn't enough fresh fruit and vegetables. Men were off to war. There were all these victory gardens to produce fresh fruit, fresh vegetables that people could eat. That was a time when we had a crisis and it brought out the best in us. Think during that same time in World War II, all these steel drives and tin and so forth, that we were collecting this stuff to help with the war. There was the whole effort of buying war bonds and so forth. It brought out the best in us, and our leadership brought out the best in us. They didn't seek to divide us. They sought to give us opportunities to turn our desire to be able to have a little bit of control over something into generosity, into charity. We see that today too. Consider today those healthcare workers who are on the front lines making tremendous sacrifices. And they're making them for us. I saw a picture in my local newspaper today of community health workers at a Catholic hospital standing in the rain so they could provide drive-through coronavirus testing. That's charity. That's generosity. You can say it's their job, but still, these are people who chose to do these kinds of things so that we can be tremendously close to our God. How can you be generous? That's the message of hope we are all called to have as a people of faith. How can your generosity be increased? How can you respond more fully and completely to the grace of God? How can your example of faith help others to see how the faith produces calm and peace? How is it we can increase our faith in God, who is far stronger than any other created thing, even a coronavirus? All the readings for this weekend provide us examples of what hope in God brings. So pray for the virtue of hope and ask God to give you and to help you witness to that peace that comes from deep faith in Him. That's this edition of Going Behind the Word. If you can get to Mass and it's safe, go ahead and do so. If not, take a look at this. And we've created on our website a special section. It's posted and stuck, so to speak, in the very first post on our website about Lent and the coronavirus. And there are all kinds of resources there. If you can't get to Mass because Mass is not being offered in your archdiocese, there are any number of ways where it's being live streamed so that you can still have that experience. There are prayers you can say. There's a spiritual communion, for example, which is maybe not a bad practice to help us to bring back. Maybe this is a charitable time for us to hunger for the Eucharist, to really want the Eucharist to be fundamentally a tremendous part of our lives. That, in fact, is what we have. That, in fact, is what we're given. And that, in fact, is the opportunity that a relationship with Jesus makes possible for us. Hopefully this Going Behind the Word has been helpful to you. Join us next week for another edition of Going Behind the Word. God bless you.